icon, Artie Kornfeld, one of the most successful writers in rock history, with over 65 songs on the chart and over 120 platinum records as composer, publisher, producer, performer, manager, and promoter, comes the official memoir and tell-all story of growing up in the culture of American music. From Artie's breakthrough as the first vice president of rock in the music industry, to his collaboration with some of the biggest legends in music, to the building of a nation, the Woodstock Nation. Continuing in the footsteps of his mother, Shirley Kornfeld, who fought segregation by organizing freedom rides in the 1950s and 60s, Artie has been committed to fighting for freedom since childhood. This memoir is a look into the soul of the development of the rock culture through the eyes of someone who has been on the inside from the beginning, through Woodstock 69 and beyond, to a new spirit of the Woodstock Nation.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Mr. Artie Kornfeld.
Hello, everybody. I don't know if you heard the beginning of the show, because in my house we had a glitch and didn't hear it. If you missed it, well, what was it? First, I for the first time in 6 months, I ran the ad for the book. I never really pushed my book. It's funny. People ask me all the time, you know, to help them out, and I do, and I never really say anything about my book. I'm very proud of my mother, if you heard the ad, and I'm very proud, and right now, there are big publishers trying to put it out in hardcover, and I put my heart and soul in it, and all the people that have sent me the letters and the Facebooks, thank you so much, and I'm glad you enjoy it. It's really been weird. I've been listening to the news. Yes, I think that women should get the same amount of money as men do for the jobs they have. I don't think it's fair that two people with doctorates from the same college could get jobs as CEOs and that the woman would get $5,000 less. Going all the way down to the to the targets, you know, and the other places where women are getting paid less. I think it should be even. What's also on my mind that's bothering me is the fact that there's about 50 million votes, people are underprivileged, the elderly and college people that are having trouble registering. And there's been rulings on it in courts that are not controlled by us, the people. It's controlled by the 1%. We all know it. So I think that's terrible because 50 million votes could change the election, although I'm so proud of Obama myself and what he's done and how we're starting to see. I'm not sure about staying in Afghanistan longer. Myself, it wasn't good for the Russians, but he certainly has got the country on the upside. I'm really very excited. I mean, Gomes was great last week, and, you know, the minute I heard Chris Bell, you know, I just love Chris Bell. In fact, you know, there's an almond comparison, and I actually think that Chris, when I spoke to Chris before, he thought it was sort of I don't think the figure's 50 million, but it's enough to affect the election, by the way. I just got carried away. But when I heard Chris, I actually thought he sounded better than Greg, although he does have his own style, which I really love. So why don't we put on Chris's first song, and Chris will be here when the song is over.
Haunted by the past.
the spirit of the Woodstock Nation, which is getting you on Artists First. With on this show, everybody's working for free because music should be heard, and a lot of music, all the music that's been on the show was people that deserve to be heard, but because of radio. Tonight, and you just heard Chris Bell, and I love Chris Bell. And by the way, Chris is 102 years old, and his wife is 75, and I want to congratulate them on their anniversary of 47 years today. Isn't it 47th anniversary today?
No, not quite, but...
You mean you're not pushing 100?
Well, I feel like it sometimes.
Yeah, really. Anyway, really, sincerely, happy anniversary, bro.
Thank you, thank you. We had a great day today.
Yeah, and many, many, many more.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, so now that you've just, now that I know that for X number of years you've compromised your life, but you kept your career going because with all the hassles, the support I get from Caroline is incredible, and I know.
My wife Terry is obviously a huge supporter of what I'm doing and my music and my career, and I couldn't do it without her. You know, it's definitely
Chris, a
partnership.
Where were you from? Or where'd you grow up?
San Diego. I was born and raised in San Diego.
So you listen to KPRI and KGB?
Yeah.
Yeah, I helped put KPRI on the air.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, remember KPRI Keeps on Trucking?
Yeah, KGB, man. I used to listen to that all the time. I mean, that was...
Yeah, Crazy Harry and was one of the disc jockeys. I used to remember all the name. And Buzz Bennett was the program director who used to work with me. Yeah, we go back. That's a great song. When you were growing up, did you really feel music inside your soul?
Really, I mean, early on, as far back as I can remember. I mean, I would sit. I remember being 3 years old, and I would sit, in the living room with headphones, listening to my dad's 8-tracks. You know, he had Aerosmith and the Rolling Stones, and I mean, even Waylon Jennings and. Just a bunch of Johnny Cash, you know, and I would listen to those over and over and over. And I think I was about 4 years old when I first kind of discovered like what a real guitar was.
Is that when you got you? When did you get your first?
I got my first guitar when I was 7. I hounded my parents for a few years, and they bought me one for Christmas, and it was a nylon string. It was a classical guitar. And so I fooled around with it for a little while, and then I ended up, I got lessons, and I played classical guitar for like the first 5 years. And then I kind of got tired of it, you know, I was playing all this classical music, and, you know, all my friends were out kind of playing football and doing whatever, and I was practicing every day after school. So I quit for like a year, and then, you know, I missed it a lot, so I ended up just saving up $100 from allowance. I got like $3 a week, and I saved up $100. I bought a Les Paul imitation Black Beauty, a Ventura, and a little PV combo amp, and and that was all she wrote. Then it just you know.
Yeah, my first amp was a Pig Nose. it was the same with me. I Simonized and polished cars because I was a symphony trumpet player, and I couldn't write rock, so I polished cars for a whole summer, and I got. The cheapest guitar I could get and a cheap tape recorder. I decided I was gonna, you know, the first song I learned was Michael Row the Boat Ashore. Everybody out there can go hallelujah.
Yeah, I used to play that on my nylon. So the first electric, I guess you could say, electric guitar song I played, I learned how to play was Louie Louie, and that was kind
of. You certainly play that. You certainly play real soulful blues rock guitar. You really do, and I think it's really excellent. Anything you know special about? I know the song of Paul.
Is basically about you know everyone goes through difficult times in their lives, and it's just kind of that belief that you'll get through it, and it might be you know a dark time now, but eventually. You know, the sun will come out and things will be a little bit brighter.
Right, it's sort of like the sun shines on every dog's ass someday.
Yeah, someday, exactly.
Yeah, definitely so. When did you put a band together and start performing?
Oh, man. I played through in bands all through high school. We would play little high school functions and stuff like that. But it wasn't really until after I graduated that I really wanted to be a guitar player in a band. And so I went on a couple auditions, and I got this gig for this band in San Diego called Honeymoon Pie. An old friend of mine, this guy named Mike Buck, kind of took me under his wing and kind of got me playing in the bars around town. And I was in that band for a couple of years, and it was a rock thing, and it really kind of helped me, kind of cut my teeth a little bit. And then I moved on and joined this band called Fifth with a bunch of buddies that I had grown up with and went to high school with. And we were like kind of what I'm doing now, American rock, but we had a front man, and I was just a guitar player. And I was in that band for like 12 years, a long time. And we did a lot of great things, but it just never really got to that next level. I mean, we toured, we showcased, and, we just did some good stuff, but it just never really panned out for us. And then after I left that band, I moved out to Nashville. That was in 2005. And then I got a gig playing for the American Idol guy, runner-up Bo Bice, and I was his guitar player for a couple of years, and that's how I met my bass player and my drummer, John Cooper and Shane Sexton, and we just kind of hit it off right away. And after the Bo thing came to an end, we just kept playing, and we just kind of really decided to get serious about what we were doing and the music. And I think it's really been within this last couple of years, since we put out the first record, Turn It On, Turn It Up, that we've come together really as a band. And our,
right. So at this point, I would say what you were doing was the title of your next song that we have up called Living for Tomorrow. And you were living for tomorrow, and tomorrow is now. So, world, if you haven't heard Chris Bell playing this song, and singing it, why don't you, with his band, why don't you enjoy it now? Because we're living for today, but we are living for tomorrow, because that's the future of the children to come.
Definitely.
And so, Z-Man, living for tomorrow.
Life is much too short to get all hung up in all the drama, go cry to your mama, because I'm about hurting off. A lot has been said, so let me make it clear. You may think you know, but you have no idea. I'm living for tomorrow. I'm not looking back on yesterday. Hey, I'm living for tomorrow. And I'm moving forward today. Back around to everything you did and all that you said and how it all went down. I'm just trying to make it through hell, find my way. If you don't like it, change the channel, turn the dial, tune in again another day. 'Cause I'm living for tomorrow. We'll be right back.
Hi. It's Artie back with the Spirit here with Chris Bell and his band, the Band of Renown. Chris, when you wrote Living for Tomorrow, was there anything in your life that led to that? Or?
I think that was more like, in 2008, there was just, kind of trying to find myself as an artist and separating from what I was doing, when I came out here. And it was just kind of like that whole thing of that was a chapter of my life that's over and I'm moving on to something else and just living for the future, and not trying to dwell on the past and.
So people don't want to... So you're downloading now. Who are you using to download? What places?
I'm on iTunes. I'm on Amazon, CD Baby, my website, TuneCore, Napster. I mean, my music is pretty much on all the major digital distribution sites and a lot of the smaller ones as well.
Man, it'd be great. Would help a lot of artists. We'll take on 90% and actually have people email and get their downloads right when the artist is here.
It's tough to compete with iTunes.
Of course, we get 50% of the royalties on that.
So that's I'll still make more than I would from a major.
I don't know. It's like I just checked on royalties on a song of mine that was a number one song record, and I know what I got paid on, and then I happened to know someone inside the company, and I found a major company, and I found out that I got paid on like one third of what the record sold. But I was just so happy to be making music, I didn't bother to worry about it.
Right, yeah.
I know you don't do it for the money, and you know I don't, because we've talked. We do it for the music, I love doing it for your music, more than I do for my own music.
Right.
I play the Pied Piper because I love that version we played, Bob and Marcia, because it's reggae and it just gets me off with all the other covers. And hopefully you'll have... Well, I don't know if anybody could cover you, because you sing your songs your way and your style, and they are your personality and they're your insights. So I never like to cover that on one of my records ever. I always like the demos better that we made.
I've never heard anyone cover one of my tunes, but I'm sure that there's a couple artists out here in Nashville that could definitely do some great, great jobs with them.
Right. So who have you opened for? When you were talking, I was having trouble hearing.
Back when I was in San Diego, we would open up for a ton of artists that would come through. We opened up for Robin Trower and Slash and Dio, Blue Oyster Cult, Survivor. It's just a ton of them. And out here, I haven't opened up for quite as many, but, we're opening up for the Monsters of Southern Rock this weekend, and we're opening up for Shooter Jennings in July up in Nebraska at the Sandhill Summer Jam. So, we're excited for those gigs, and I think we have a
next year, they may be opening for you next year. You never know.
You never know. We'll see. We're working
because... hard. Z-Man, are you ready? Because we are in the hereafter.
Am I lost in time? I can't seem to find. I can't find my way. Right.
getting a lot of static. Am I back on?
You certainly are.
Well, it's good to be on. I'd rather be on than off, you know. Chris, that was a touching story you told me about a year after when I asked you what was that song about. You want to just... it's amazing that we just heard that that for some reason this is the first night that... And it's you. And the show is taking off. But it's also... It was you because the fact that iPhone... The first time is coming in so heavy, and then Hong Kong is coming in. I mean, it's like I would say you're keeping them listening.
I hope.
You know, and it's your music that's keeping them listening, and it was very touching because you know I lost my mom and dad in the last year and a half. And would you just tell the story when I asked you?
Yeah,
what
the
song is about.
A year after, I wrote that basically about you know my parents. I lost both my parents, my mom. In 2006, and my dad in 98, and that song is really about you know whether or not I'll see them again, and I believe I will, and either you know in this life or the next, I guess you would say, in the afterlife, no matter what, I'll try and see them again at some point, and you know because I believe in the afterlife, and that's really where that song stems from. The inspiration for that was just me missing them really one day and writing kind of my thoughts out on paper.
You know, it's even stranger. We don't really know whether we're in our own afterlife. That's just a chain of 2,000 lives before. We really don't know that, do we?
It's just a continuum.
Like this, we may be in the afterlife right now. You know, who knows? But the song is really great, and the story is really touching, you know.
Thanks. There's quite a few songs that I've written about them and or for them, you know. I mean, when you lose someone that you love or people that you love, it affects you deeply, and you kind of base moments in your life around when those people pass and that time in your life. And so I come back to that a lot because, you know, I'm a father, you know, and, you know, I have two kids of my own, and losing my parents, especially my dad, losing him young, you know, I was 21 when he died, and it's difficult. I miss them for my kids, you know. But a lot of my music, a lot of my lyrics come out of that, and I think instead of you know going to talk to a shrink or something, I translate it through music. A lot of people can relate to that. I think that's it.
I certainly can because I was so pulled into music. I just wonder because sometimes I feel sort of guilty because my folks, when I lost my wife and child very young, I go through the changes. I write about it in my book, too, about, you know, all the sadness that was in their life. And although I had nothing to do with their deaths, you know, that I just wish, you know, that it hadn't happened so they wouldn't have had those 20 years of sorrow and sadness about losing their grandchild, you know.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, and it sort of caused a rift because they forgot that I lost my child and they sort of like, you know, it was but we did make peace, you know, and that's what really counts. You know, it's hard to give your life to music and keep, it's important to keep the family thing going, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Otherwise, what are you doing it for?
Yeah, I mean,
if you don't, then you're a bad mother.
Exactly.
Secret. It's alright, it's okay, never mystery.
back in the spirit, you know. Boy, if you don't have the spirit now, I'm happy for the people in England that listen to the show. There's a whole bunch of people in England that stay up till 3 a.m. to hear the show, and that's been forever, Z, man. They were the first that we really knew, you know, and it's like hundreds of people get together and listen to the show. It's sort of like, and the show is just what it is. It's just all of us sharing, because everybody out there in their own way is a great singer and guitar player and writer, and whatever they do, if they do it with passion, then whether it's carving wood or doing plumbing or, you know, they are the same as we are, you know. It's just that we're crazy because we chose music to follow, and it's been very good to my life. It's just being around music. I mean, I got a job at the Charlotte Coliseum after I met Fats Domino when I was 13, so I could hear all the shows for free. So I sold soft drinks, and they were heavy carrying those buckets in those days. But it was great in North Carolina because it was a dry state. So not that I was a crook, but people would be drunk out of their head and they'd want a mixer, and they'd give me $20 and I'd give them change for $10. But that was over 7 years ago. That was in 54, so I think I'm past the statute of limitations. That's the last time I ever did anything like that. You know, don't cheat unless you're going to pay the price. Are you willing to pay the price, right?
Yeah, exactly.
About Bad Mother, you want to tell a story you told me?
That was inspired by Casey Anthony and that whole trial that went down with her daughter's disappearance, Kaylee. You know, subsequently they found out that she obviously was found dead. And, I watched a lot of that, and everyone's got their opinions on what happened, and I'm not going to voice mine, but mine basically was voiced in that song. That's basically what that's about. But it stems from more than that. I guess, in a roundabout way, it's just about people that are just bad people that just take for granted, take more than what they should, I guess, and don't give back.
I'm sort of lucky because I'm on Facebook and I'm at 4,998, and to keep it there so I can keep contact. And I really have really nice, really into music, really into freedom, and, you know, kind of friends, and I'm very lucky that way, because sometimes when I want to connect and I'm alone and I want to go elsewhere, I just go to my computer, you know, when I'm not, it shuts my mind down and opens it up to a whole other area of communication.
Right.
And, you know, and music is a great way to communicate. That whole thing, you brought up a story. When I lived in Coconut Grove, we had friends, Amy and Ned, and they had a daughter, Ned and Sue, and they had a daughter named Amy. And she came, my wife had lent her a mini shirt that was made out of denim, and she came to bring it back, and she left, and that was the last time she was ever seen. And wow. The parents spent all these years, they'd spent 30 years, and they both died trying to find her. And, you know, that's a horrible thing, because they never did find out what happened. So there was no closure on that one.
Wow.
You know, so it was really sad. You know, it was all of us down at Coconut Grove in 72 and 3 on the phones, you know, all the time. And false, you know, there was, some people said they had the child that wanted money delivered, and it was all a fake. And it was hard to watch. I lost a child, and I know the feeling. It's horrible, and it's a lifetime sentence. But I'm a very lucky man, because, boy, did I have a wonderful trial for 16 years. I am so lucky. So I thank my God, you know, for the blessings. You know, I don't look at any of this as, this was the way it was supposed to be, and that's why we're here tonight, you know. You know, you could take it, you know, you could take it any way you want, and, you know, the old one about you see the half full glass or the half empty. I prefer to see the half full glass.
Right.
You know, in this area, I probably would have done myself in the night it happened. But you know what? I did have faith to go on. You know, and the music is what it was, because within 4 weeks after, I had a band signed to RCA that happened. So music saved my life. It literally did many times. Not financially, just inside myself.
but I always have the saying, my wife actually had written it on a lyric book she gave me a long time ago, and it's called Music Saves the Soul, and I really believe that, because if you, no matter what's going on, the worst part, you know, the worst time of your life, if you can look to music and in some way it can help get you through some of the hardest things you've ever had to go through. Whether you're a songwriter or you just love to listen to music.
You know. Yeah, and Chris, when we're off the air, you know, we'll talk before we say goodnight. You know, if I talk to you tomorrow, if you have you know, friends of yours in a band that you think I haven't heard that really good and deserves to be on the show, you know, please let me know.
Definitely, yeah.
You know, because I'm sure you have your favorite band.
Yeah, I have a bunch of great friends who are in bands, and just some great bands that...
You know, the great bands, I don't think, are the ones that are getting $200 a ticket right now. I think the great bands are the bands that are on the show tonight and that are fighting to be heard, you know, and that don't mind sitting in vans for 15 hours in between gigs.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of hardworking bands and artists out there that just need a little bit more exposure. They're working their asses off, touring around, playing gigs, you know, making great music, you know, building it up the grassroots way, and that's just like what we're doing. And you know, it's a grind, but you know,
well, you know what?
Love the music, you know, and want to bring it to the people.
Yeah, what's good is that whatever gifts you have, you take it all, and you have a song called "Take It All," the way I like the song.
That's our little ditty.
And I love the music on it, and the playing is great. So I'm just going to say right up front, Z-Man, would you please play Take It All?
Wildfire. What was the deal you made? echo of a thousand people cheering. An achy head and a clouded mind. Another late night and too much wine. The tires rolling on as I crawl out my bone to see the world pass me by with every state line and exit sign. I'm playing one so that crowd, I see them all rocking. What song is it that you wanna hear? Every day now seems to fade, and different towns all look the same. Sound checks and smoky bars to fancy hotels and long black cars. I'm playing for so that crowd, I see them all rocking out. Throw your hands in the air, yeah. Playing your favorite song, I hear them all sing along. Feel the blood pumping through my veins as I step off the bus and I take the stage. 'Cause I'm playing for a sold out crowd, I see them all rocking out. Throw your hands in the air, yeah. Playing your favorite song. That you wanna hear? What song is it?
Well, that was a great two-song rockin' moments. You know, that was 9 minutes of great rock. You know, since we call the show Spirit of the Woodstock Nation, what was your feeling when you went up to the site? You described it.
Yeah, it was an energy being up, you know, at the site of Woodstock when I was back there, back in '98. You know, it's just an energy that's almost—it's really indescribable. You just feel there's so much history there. One of the highlights of being on tour, out of all the places that I've gone, it's definitely, you know, an experience I'll never forget.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you had that feeling, you know, and I'm so glad that you were here tonight, because your music, I really love your music, and I love the rocking part, and I love your voice and what you're saying.
Thank you.
And
thank
I love you. You're a fine person and a really fine musician.
Thank you. I appreciate that immensely.
I want to
thank you for having me on the show. It's been a blast. And thank you for all the fans and all the people that tuned in tonight.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you. You know, it's been a great night. And, you know, we'll talk. I'll give you a call tomorrow. We'll talk.
Yeah, definitely. I'll be around. I'll be writing songs tomorrow.
All right, Chris. Happy anniversary. Enjoy it with your wife.
Thank you, Artie. Thank you for having me.
God bless you. Take care.
You too.
Everybody, that's about the end of the show, except for my usual hold the light, Bert Sumner. But a band like we just heard and an artist like Chris Bell is what the show's all about. You know, no matter what music they do, it's the fact that you get to hear all kinds of music. And the good part for me is with the help of Pat Scully and Z-Man and Jed Taylor, and with Caroline, from Caroline, my lady, you know, and the people, the fact that the show took off, it's not that I made the show took off, it's that people were dying to hear the good music and didn't have time to surf all around. So we just try to find the best and give it to the audience. And next week we got Rooster. So remember, keep the peace and... We got to fight the fact that people can't register to vote. We got to stop this guy in Wisconsin that just got, I believe, $10 million so he could not be thrown out of office. And that's what we're facing. And the fact is, we're going to just keep holding the light until we win. So everybody, keep the peace, keep the spirit of the Woodstock Nation alive, and hold the light. Thank you for being here tonight.
And I've seen where I'd like to be. It's a place where your mind is free. If you've seen it, better keep it, don't let go. I can try to enlighten you. If you've seen it, better keep it, don't let go. I would like to teach. If you've seen it, better keep it, don't let